praise? All right, let's praise the Lord. We're going to start out with Majesty.
Majesty, worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from His throne unto His own, His anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from His throne unto His own, His anthem raise. So worship His Majesty, Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
Praise the Lord.
throughout eternity.
Amen.
And the joy we share
stay in the garden with him. Though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever.
I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith, and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. And draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Please. Oh, yeah. I was going to say, please welcome Pastor Steve, but who's got a hymn they've been thinking about? Any tune? Any good godly lyrics out there? 505? All righty. Yeah, he touched me. Shackled by a heavenly burden, 'neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Sin since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Amen.
Amen, brother. Yes. Praise the Lord. That's where them Nazarites couldn't get there. They couldn't get there, man. Them old Nazarenes, they had that hard unbelief we talked about today. All right, so Mark what? 141? All right, and I think, and I don't know if it's because I've got the mic placed a little bit different, but I had a few concerns about the speakers being really hot today. So you might want to take me down just a little bit. Amen? Maybe I was just coffeeed up more than usual. I don't know. All right. So Mark 1:41. That's a good verse. Anybody else got an encouraging word or verse? One fitting. Amen. Yeah. Amen. That's right. 1 Timothy 1:15. Good verse. All right. Anybody else got a verse? Verse. Bible story. All right. Okay. Any testimonies? Encouraging words? Yes, sir. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen, brother. Amen. Midterms are coming. Just a year off. All right. Freedom is not free. Praise the Lord for that. We got some great veterans. Praise the Lord for them. Amen, amen. All right. What else? Anything else? Encouraging words, testimonies, passages of Scripture, anything? All right. All the time. God is good. Amen. All right. Prayer requests, then. We'll get on down the road with that. Prayer requests. What you got? Yes, sir. Oh. How high? Oh. Yeah, man. Bless her heart. All right, we'll pray for that BP. That's on up there, man. All right. Yes, ma'am. Sharon's going to have surgery this Thursday. Did they say how long the surgery would last? No. They say how long? Is it day surgery? Okay, good. All right. So Thursday, she probably will go home Monday, maybe. Sunday? Okay. Thursday to Sunday, Sharon. So two Sharons there. Sharon Heiberger with foot surgery, Sharon Fuller with hypertension. Miss Alita have a back surgery on Friday. Back surgery. Friday. This coming Friday. All right. Paul McCormick with the chemo tabs. All right. Chemo, still doing that deal. Chemo tabs. What else? What else? Yes, ma'am. Praise God, man. He made it to tier. Johnny. Ronnie Holman. Ronnie and Nancy, good evening tonight. Good to see you folks. They watch every service. Love y'all. All you online people, love you. Amen. All right. Thank the Lord for you. All right. Ronnie and Nancy. All right. Ronnie and Nancy Holman. Ronnie's cancer. Any update on that cancer? No update. No. Okay. We just continue to pray for him. What else? Anything else? Yeah, Bobby. Okay, Dennis, last name? Spell it. Bollinger. Okay. Bollinger. All right, Dennis Bollinger, and he's having surgery, maybe. If two surgeons can get together, what are they doing to him? Okay. All right. Kidney stone. He's still dealing with that kidney stone. All right. Kidney stone surgery and other procedure. All right, all right. Amen. Yes, ma'am, over here. Loopy. Okay. Life-threatening deal because she's up in years, right? Okay. Amen. Okay, so we're going to continue to pray for her salvation. Yes, yes. Okay. All right, amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, right. All right, that's a praise, man. Yeah, Rosemary. The first Christian in the family. She got through the COVID. See, it takes one. It takes one. It takes one to say, I don't care. It takes one to say, I don't care. Y'all can hate me if you want to. You can make fun of me, but I'm going to tell you about Jesus. And yeah. Amen. 3 years. 3 years. Staying on you for 3 years. All right. Amen. Got through the COVID. Praise the Lord for Rosemary, amen. Got through that COVID, that's great. All right, all right. Anything else? Yes, sir, in the back. Job situation, are we looking for a new job? Okay, looking for a new job. And what, Sharon's? Okay, daughter's name? Kinsey. Kenzie and family going through trials. John, I'm a little cold, man. I don't know what it said on, but if I'm cold, people are cold. My soul, if I'm cold, people are hunting cover out there. Have mercy. All right. Anything else? Yes, sir. Unspoken. Yeah, we'll get those on there. A young lady came down this morning requesting prayer. Her name's Brooklyn. She's married to Kevin, and they have a little baby named Josie. And Kevin was a part of the Tosh group. He was one of the kids that the Toshes were helping get graduated and get on his feet and off into the working world and everything. Josie came down, or Brooklyn, I'm getting the baby and the mama's names confused. But Brooklyn came down and asked for prayer for Kevin's sister. Let's see here if I got all this right. Chelsea Enslow is Kevin's sister. So Kevin and Brooklyn, and then Kevin's sister is Chelsea Enslow. Chelsea has some fertility issues and finally got pregnant with twins. And she's 16 weeks along, and she lost one of the twins. So, you know, that's got to be a tough one, man. And then, you know, so they've got to get that dead baby out without harming that baby that's still growing and viable. And there's just a lot going on there, man. So we know a God that can handle that, right? So we really want to pray for Chelsea, not just tonight, but... yeah, we want to pray for her all week, right? So Chelsea Enslow, 16 weeks, has lost one twin. So those babies aren't viable till when? Outside the womb. 24 at least, yeah. 24 weeks, so we got another 2 months. So we got to pray, man. Pray that baby will make. Amen? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and lift these things up. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the church. Lord, we thank you for all the many visitors that we had today. And Lord, just the great attendance. We just give you the praise and the glory and the honor for that. Lord, we're faithful to pray for visitors, and we're faithful to pray that you grow your church. And Lord, we're faithful to invite people and be encouragers to people outside these four walls. And Lord, it's amazing. The people that we talk to and encourage don't necessarily come to this church, but you send people to this church. And Lord, so we just praise you and we thank you for it. Thank you for the visitors. We continue to pray, God, that you would send people here to hear the gospel and, Lord, to experience the gospel and to receive the gospel and then, Lord, to take the gospel outside these four walls and share the gospel with others, Lord. Thank you that we have a church that wants to hear the Bible preached and taught in all of its entirety, in all of its full strength, without being watered down or cutting this out or cutting that out, Lord. We're thankful that we have that kind of atmosphere and, Lord, that kind of environment, that the Holy Spirit is welcome here, Lord, and moves here in power. And, Lord, we're just thankful for that. We praise you for that. We don't take that for granted. That's not anybody's doing. That's just the power of prayer and people looking to you and seeking your face, God. So we just thank you for a corporate group that wants to see you move in power and great things. Lord, we lift these praises up to you. We pray that Johnny Hyman is in tier. He's transitioned, Lord, and getting stronger. And, Lord, we're just praying for his upcoming rehab. And, Lord, we're just praying that each and every day, as I've been praying for him, Lord, he get a little bit stronger. Put on a little more weight, get a little more strength in his body. Bone density comes back, Lord. That atrophy in his muscles starts to reverse. He gets some muscle tone back. Appetite increases, Lord, just every day, just a little bit stronger. We're thankful for Rosemary. That, Lord, she came through the COVID, and she's on the other side of it. We're thankful for her and her witness. And, Lord, we pray that she would continue to be a witness and be a light for you, Lord, and that many more would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because of her salvation. We're thankful for these scriptures that were shared this evening, Lord, and we're thankful for our veterans. Lord, we know that freedom's not free and salvation's not free. It cost you everything, Lord. You sent your Son to shed His blood and to die on the cross for us, Lord, and to have a free country. There's been a lot of men and some ladies that have shed their blood and given the total, ultimate sacrifice, Lord, so that we can have freedom today. Praise You and thank You for that, Lord. We thank You for our government. It's not perfect. We thank You for those in leadership. They're not perfect, but God, I pray You get a hold of them. And Lord, that government will work for the people and not the other way around. And God, we pray that there might be a realignment of political power here in about another year as midterms roll around, Lord. And Lord, maybe there'd be a message sent to Washington that far-left liberal agenda is not yet. That's not what people are looking for. So, Father God, we just pray for that situation. We just pray Your hand upon it. And, Lord, we just pray that You would help this nation, help it continue. Lord, we pray that this nation would continue until the rapture of the church at least. Lord, that we could be a light, send out the gospel, send out the word all across the land, churches like this and other churches. So, God, we lift up our country to You tonight. Thank You for these veterans. Lord, as we lift up these prayer requests to You, we lift up our Sharons to You. First one, Sharon Fuller with hypertension. Lord, I pray that You just relax Sharon's body, relax her mind. Lord, just allow her to just drift into a lower blood pressure state. And that, Lord, when Gene gets to the house here in a little bit, that blood pressure's moving closer to being normal, Lord. We just lift Sharon up to You tonight. We pray for Sharon Heibarger and this foot surgery of hers, Lord. We pray that this would actually happen on Thursday for her and that her body would be ready. She wouldn't be sick. She wouldn't have any kind of virus, sickness, or anything like that, Lord. She'd be ready to go. And, Lord, I know she's looking forward to getting this foot fixed and getting on down the road to recovery. So, Lord, we just pray that You guide the surgeon's hands, anesthesiologists, surgical techs, everybody involved. Lord, You just help them minister to Sharon and bring her through that surgery. Same with Miss Alita, Lord. We're praying for that surgeon. You'd guide his hands and be with that anesthesiologist and those surgical techs and pre-op nurses and post-op nurses and, Lord, everybody in between. We pray they take great care of Miss Alita, bring healing to her body, Lord. Give her relief from pain and discomfort. And, Lord, we pray this back would just mend and come back together and be as good as it once was, God. We're praying for that for Miss Alita. Pray for a miracle of healing for her and her back. Brother Paul McCormick, we continue to pray for him, Lord. Thank You for him. His continued stick-to-itiveness, he just keeps on keeping on. Lord, thank You for this senior adult about to be 78. And Lord, we just pray You give him strength and vigor, help him go through what he's having to go through with his chemotherapy tab regimen. And Lord, the side effects, we pray You'd ease those for him. And Lord, just get him through this next year. Ronnie Holman, Lord, we lift up him and his cancer. And we pray for healing for his body. And Lord, just remove that thing. Lord, whatever that tumor is, whatever that cancer is, God, we pray You just cast it from his body. Just take it away from him, Lord. Give him a miracle of healing, God. I know he would give You the praise and glory. I know Nancy would give You the praise and glory for healing him, Lord. So we're just asking for a miracle of healing. He's fought this cancer so long. Father God, we pray there'd be a breakthrough and healing in his life. Lord, we lift up Dennis to You tonight and this kidney stone and this other procedure that he's in need of. We pray that those physicians and surgeons would come together in a way for this to happen for him and bring relief to him and get him on the other side of this to healing and health again, God. We continue to pray for Aunt Patricia, Loopy's aunt. We pray for her salvation. We're thankful that she's open to hearing the gospel, that she's open to hearing seeds of salvation sown in her heart, that she's open to attending this Bible church. And Lord, we just pray that she begin to connect the dots and that penny would drop. And Lord, she would just receive and Lord, just call out to You for salvation and invite You into her life as she confesses her sins. We pray for Aunt Patricia and her salvation. Lori's job situation, Lord, we lift that up to You. We pray You'd give her wisdom and discernment. We thank You that You've led her and helped her with a different car. But Lord, now she's needing new employment And Lord, we pray that you would show her the right door, show her the right situation, and Lord, that you might just lead, guide, and direct her to that. And then Sharon's daughter, Kinsey, and family going through these trials, Lord, we pray that they would learn from this, God, that they would seek your face, that, Lord, you would be their provision in this time of trouble. And, Lord, we just pray as we go through crossroads and as we go through trials that we see perhaps what you're trying to say to us, what you're trying to show us, how you're trying to direct and lead our lives. So, Lord, we just lift up Kinsey and her family, and we just pray for wisdom and understanding as they go through these trials. And then, Lord, this little Chelsea Inlow, this little mama, 16 weeks pregnant, pregnant with twins, Lord, lost one. Father God, we pray for her. We lift her up. We pray for her husband. We pray for them together as a couple. Lord, we just pray for her body, that in this other unborn baby, Lord, we just pray that you might preserve and save and grow. And Lord, this baby, the 16-week-old baby that's left in the womb, Lord, we just pray that you bring him to her to a normal birth, or whatever sex they are, to a normal birth. And Lord, they would just get to experience the miracle of life. And then Lord, this baby that's been lost, we pray that it's in your sovereign will that they get to try again, Lord, and maybe be blessed with another baby down the road. But Father God, we pray you help them in the loss of this one child. And Lord, but we pray that you do a miracle and save the one twin that's there. We lift up Chelsea to you tonight. We pray for Kevin and his sister in Brooklyn, his sister-in-law, Lord, and we just pray for that whole situation, that God, your perfect will would be done, and you would strengthen them and undergird them at this time. That Chelsea would really sense your presence in her life and in her body, Lord, and even in her womb, Lord, as you just preserve and protect that baby that's still living. Thank you, God, for all you do. Thank you for your word tonight as we seek to get into it. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right. Let's take our Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 15, and I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the holy and inerrant word of God. Revelation 15, we'll begin reading here in verse 1, and we'll take it through verse 8. Revelation 15, verse 1, and we'll take it through verse 8. Everybody got it? Found it? All right, Revelation chapter 15, verse 1 says, Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels who had seven plagues, which are the last, because in them the wrath of God is finished. And I saw something like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those who had been victorious over the beast and his image and the number of his name standing on the sea of glass holding harps of God. They sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works. O Lord God, the Almighty, righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all the nations will come and worship before you. For your righteous acts have been revealed. After these things I looked, and the temple of the tabernacle of testimony in heaven was opened. And the seven angels who had the seven plagues came out of the temple, clothed in linen, clean and bright, and girded around their chests with golden sashes. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with the smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one was able to enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were finished. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, we're talking about the preliminaries, talking about an introduction, if you will, to the final judgment, right? To the final judgment, or judgments, the seven bowl judgments. Last Wednesday, we introduced this chapter 15 by taking an appropriate and what we called a needed review of the wrath or judgment of God. We went from Adam in Genesis, all the way to where we are now in the book of Revelation, leading up to the seven bowl judgments. In each instance, God's wrath being poured out, we ask the question, was there grace in the midst of the judgment? And in each situation, we said yes. Amen? So, in this review of God's wrath, we said that the historical outpourings of God's wrath fall into several categories. First is the sowing and reaping category, right? You sow sin, and you sow disobedience, and you sow rejection of God, rejection of Christ, you're going to reap some wrath. Second is the devastating wrath when God sends massive destructive judgment. Now, sometimes one time he flooded the whole earth. And then another time he just took out parts of the earth. We talked about Sodom and Gomorrah there. Third is the wrath of abandonment, turning one over to a sinful and rebellious life. Fourth is an eschatological wrath poured out in the future. That's what we've been studying and talking about. Poured out in the future on the whole world, or again, parts of the world, as signs that point to the second coming of the Lord. That's what this book of Revelation is building to, his second coming. Fifth is eternal wrath. And we talked about this kind of wrath. We called it the most devastating wrath of all, because the ultimate result of eternal wrath will be the sentencing of all unrepentant sinners to a place called hell forever and ever and ever and ever. As we carried on with our review of God's wrath, we said when we think about His wrath, a remarkable paradox exists. Throughout the entire historical outpouring of God's wrath, from Edom to the final devastation of His eschatological wrath, a strange paradox exists. God is what? He is busily working to save sinners from His own wrath. That's an awesome God to me. Amen? That's an awesome God. So God's nature encompasses not only righteousness, God's nature encompasses not only holiness, but God's nature encompasses grace and mercy. And praise the Lord for that. Amen? So even during the devastating judgments of the tribulation, and we've looked at it, we've studied it, what does God do? He's going to call sinners to salvation. Now, we spent more time on that than what I just went through, but that's just kind of the high points of what we did on Wednesday night. With the review of God's wrath over, we said chapter 15 presents the specific circumstances that lead to the final outpouring of God's wrath in chapter 16. In other words, before Christ returns. In that, we are to think of chapter 15 as a preliminary. We're to think of chapter 15 as an introduction. We're to think of chapter 15 as pointing to these seven bowl judgments of chapter 16. So, just as we had a scene in heaven before the seals of chapters 4 and 5, and the trumpets of chapter 8, verses 2 through 6, we find ourselves reading about another incredible scene before the seven bowl judgments of chapter 16. But chapter 15 does not just serve as a great scene before the impending bowl judgments. This chapter serves also as the third heavenly sign that John saw in Revelation. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, he says, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. What does that sign represent? The nation of Israel. Chapter 12, verse 3, then another great sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns on his head, and on his heads were 7 diadems. What does that sign represent? Red dragon, the devil, Satan. Okay, yeah. All right. The term, when we get into verses 1 and 2, then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. The terms great and marvelous express the enormous importance of this sign. For this sign contains the final outpouring of God's wrath on the wicked, those unrepentant sinners of the earth. It is what? It is a great and marvelous sign. Now, the sign consists of seven angels who had seven plagues. The same beings who care for and minister to God's people will literally bring God's wrath to the sinful world. Now, we covered that. That's alluded to in Matthew chapter 13, verses 37 through 42. We've preached through that in the Gospel of Matthew. Now, when we get to plague here, it says, "Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels who had seven plagues." Plague. When we get to that word, in the Greek, it literally means a blow, right? Like you would punch somebody, or you would ram somebody, or you would hit somebody with something. It literally means a blow, or it literally means, it can also mean a wound, or it can mean a blow that causes a wound. This same word in the Greek is used in 13:3 and in Revelation 13:12. Remember when we preached through that, talking about the beast's fatal wound, right, that he resurrects from. Remember that unholy trinity, right? So even though the seven plagues are diseases or disasters, they are to be thought of as powerful, deadly blows that will strike the world with an impact to kill. Now, what is it killing? Well, it's killing the unrepentant. It's killing those who have not received the gospel. So these seven plagues, these seven bold judgments that we're going to get into in chapter 16, are the last and the worst plagues. And you ask the question, well, why? Why are they the worst plagues? Why are they the last? Because in them, the wrath of God is finished. It's finished. He comes back after that. It's finished, right? And because these plagues, these bold judgments are last, we can derive a couple of things from them. Two important truths. First truth, the fact that they're called the last implies that the preceding trumpet and seal judgments were also plagues of the wrath of God, which means God's wrath extends throughout the tribulation and is not confined to a brief period at the very end, as some theologians argue. Second, the fact that they are called the last indicates that the bowls come after the seals and the trumpets, and so we have a nice, neat, chronological order of God's wrath. The third tremendous outpouring of God's final judgment, introduced in chapter 15 and carried out in chapter 16, has been anticipated and alluded to, and when I read you these passages, you're going to see it, has been anticipated and alluded to as we have studied this great book. These seven bowls will be the culmination of the great day of God the Father in Jesus Christ's wrath. Revelation 6:17 says, "For the great day of their," T-H-E-I-R, "for the great day of their wrath." Whose wrath? Jesus Christ and God the Father. "For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" These seven bowls are the third woe, third woe predicted in 11:14. Revelation 11:14 says, "The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly." These seven bowls are a time of destruction. 11:18 says, "And the nations were engaged, and your wrath came, and the time for the dead to be judged, and the time to reward your bondservants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth." Now you remember from chapter 14, we just got through chapter 14, the seven bowls are the unmixed wine of God's wrath, chapter 14, verse 10, the final reaping of the earth, chapter 14, verses 14 through 16, and the final trampling of the grapes of God's wrath, per chapter 14, verses 17 through 20. Are you with me so far? Amen? So when we speak of God's wrath from the Bible, and I've mentioned the term a lot, wrath, His judgment, did a review of it. What are we talking about when we say God's wrath? What do we mean? What does the Bible mean? Amen. Judgment. Have you ever thought about what's behind it? Wrath is from the Greek word thumos. And thumos is a strong word describing rage. It's a strong word describing a passionate outburst of anger. Kind of like when Jesus went into the temple, and on two occasions he cleansed it, right? My Father's house will be a house of what? House of prayer. And you people have made it a den of what? Yeah, we ain't doing this. And so he starts turning over tables and grabs a whip and starts cracking it. Man, you in here where the Gentiles are supposed, the Gentiles can't get in there. This is where the Gentiles are supposed to worship. And you're robbing the Jews where the Gentiles are supposed to be worshiping. Get on out of here, right? Turning over tables. Chickens flying everywhere, right? Cracking a whip here. People jumping over the banister that separates this area from the temple grounds, right? It's a passionate outburst of anger. Well, Pastor, I thought Jesus was sinless. Well, he is. He was. That wasn't sin. That was holy, righteous indignation of God, right? My Father's house will be a house of prayer. That's right, exactly. Amen? So this is that. This is Jesus cleansing the temple. Take it to the tenth power, friend. Wrath in this context means what then? It means that God's anger must be expressed against all unforgiven sin, right? Take your Bibles and flip on back down there, Revelation 14, 8. We'll do a little review here, right? Revelation 14, 8. The Word of God reads, Revelation 14, 8, and another angel, a second one, followed, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who has made all the nations drink of the wine of the passion of her immorality." Here in the seven bowls, God says, enough is enough. Yeah, enough is enough. Look at 14:10. "He also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." Those that do not accept the gospel and the unholy Trinity, I'm telling you, man, they're going to get the brunt. They're going to get the brunt of it, right? In 1619, let's turn there. We'll go a little bit forward from where we're at. 1619. The great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Babylon the Great was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of his fierce wrath. In 1619 and 1915, God's final wrath is called his fierce wrath. Look at 1915 with me. 1915. "From his mouth comes a sharp sword so that with it," 1915, "from his mouth comes a sharp sword so that with it he may strike down the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty." The fierce wrath. The prophet Zephaniah, he wrote of the final outpouring of God's wrath in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8. It says, "Therefore wait for me, declares the Lord, for the day when I rise up as a witness. Indeed, my decision is to gather nations, to assemble kingdoms, to pour out on them my indignation, all my burning anger, for all the earth will be devoured by the fire of my zeal." Now, we have quoted before, it's one of my most favorite passages because it speaks of God's grace and his mercy. And I'm all about grace and mercy, amen? I'm glad I'm on this side and I've got God's grace and mercy. Those that are lost stand condemned already, even though they've not died. If you're lost and without Christ, you stand condemned already. You can't play around with this. You got to get saved, right? You got to let the gospel in. I mean, if the heart's pricked, I mean, if you're feeling that uncomfortable, something's not right. I mean, that's the Holy Spirit trying to help you see, friend, watching me online. You got to get saved. You can't play around with this stuff. But the verse is, and you'll know it when I say it, 2 Peter 3:9. Oh, I love that verse. 2 Peter 3:9, man. That's my mojo, 2 Peter 3:9, right? That keeps me going, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. I mean, man, don't say my God is mean-spirited. Don't say my God is looking to squish people with His thumb. Don't say that my God it doesn't give people a chance. Oh, man. Oh, man, He gives people chances, friend. He gives people opportunity, right? If you come here to this church, you're gonna hear an opportunity that you can get right and get saved. Amen? The people of this congregation are going to be encouraged to tell you that outside these four walls. He's a patient God. He got more patience than I got. He got more patience than you got. He's got more patience than all of us got put together. But one day, the patience runs out. It's got to. We're on a timeline. Time is coming to an end. In the second coming of Christ, I don't know how close it is above my pay grade, but it seems like it's awfully close. I don't know. The Lord is not slow about His promises, some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. That's one of my favorite verses. Not the favorite, but one of my favorite verses. But the sobering truth of the matter is that for those who refuse God's love, for those that reject His grace, why would you reject His grace? But for those who reject it, those who scorn His mercy, who make light of His mercy, they will inevitably, I would be dishonest if I did not say this, they will inevitably, if they keep on the wide road, they will inevitably face His wrath. They will inevitably face it. So our job is to make sure. Our job is to what? Make sure, friend, they have an opportunity. Right? Make sure they have an opportunity. To what? To experience the grace, to experience the mercy, to experience the love of God, to experience the love of Christ. It is our job as a church to be the church, right, where the gospel's preached. It's a beautiful gospel. Amen? And it's a beautiful conviction. Conviction is not ugly. Conviction is beautiful. Praise God for conviction. Praise God for uncomfortableness. Praise God for a feeling of vulnerability. Praise God for the feeling of being bankrupt. Praise God for the feeling of being lost. Praise God for the reality of that, because without any of that, you can't get saved. Right? You got to get there. You got to get there. And we got to help people see that. We got to help people see that, right? We got to persuade them, right? And we can't buy them. We can't buy them into salvation, and we can't funnel them into salvation, but we got to love them that way. We got to pray them that way. But man, they got to see it. Because I don't know about you, but one thing I've got out of Revelation as we've gone through it, preaching through it or teaching through it, verse by verse, paragraph by paragraph, judgment's real. Hell is a place, and eternity is forever. That's what I'm getting out of this deal. And when I see people, I don't see Democrats and Republicans, and I don't see white and black or Asian or Hispanic. I don't see that. I see saved or lost. That's what I see. And it's a daunting thing to walk and go out into public and interact with somebody and get a sense. That's a person of peace. That person probably knows the Lord, right? And then have a sense, you meet somebody else and you're like, oh my soul, that person's lost his ball in high weeds. And I'm not he's going this way and I'm going that way, and help! That guy needs help! Right? Man, oh man. Persuade them. Love them. Pray for them. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to quit before I get into another message. Amen. Hey, man, you guys are awesome. You're great. Right? You're the church. The church of the living God. Amen. He's what? For you, not against you. Amen. Does he want you to succeed? Yes, he does. Is he looking to pour his blessing out on you? Yes, he is. Right? Stay faithful to his word. Be faithful to pray. Walk in his goodness and experience his love. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for tonight, Lord. We thank you for the another half step or step we've made it into this passage. Lord, thank you for these folks that have come out tonight and those that have watched online. We pray, Lord, that you give them the sense of the calling on their life to bear the gospel to a lost and dying world. Father God, you've given them the tools. You've given them the personality. They don't need to change nothing about their personality. They don't need to, Lord, you've given them the love. You've given them the hope. Lord, just let it come out of them. Father God, just let it flow. Let it flow. Lord, help it flow out of all of us. Lord, all of our congregation, all of the congregations that are Bible-believing and Jesus-preaching churches, Lord, we just pray you raise them all up. And that the truth just pour out of all of them. All them Christians out in this lost and dying world. Thank you, Lord, that we're saved tonight. We don't leave in a spirit of pride, but we leave with a spirit of responsibility and a burden. A burden to do your will and to bring glory and honor to your name. We ain't earning nothing. We've already got it. But, Lord, we're trying to point people to the ultimate truth and the greatest decision they could ever make in their lives. Lord, thank you that we've made that decision. You've squeezed us, molded us, and called us to salvation. We praise you for that. Lord, we're praying for a good week. We're praying for a fruitful week. Lord, there will be trials and tribulations. There will be hurts and pains and problems. But Lord, may we look to you, seek your face, and continue on in your word. And may you lead, guide, and direct us as we go. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. You folks have a great, great evening. Online folks, we'll see you. We'll see you Wednesday night. Love you. Take care. Good night.